जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदाई, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, 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 यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्रीमद स्वामी ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन बीपीडी संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्रीमद डिवाइन गुरु श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव भक्त वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गधाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ षड गोस्वामी प्रभु गण की जय। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। मथुरा द्वारकापुरी धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मैया की जय। मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगा माई यमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की जय। कलियुग पावन गोलकेरा प्रेम धन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। शिल प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरिस्ट द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग।
Hare Krishna. So we are happy to welcome you for the 104th Prerana Festival here today. The topic for today's discussion is developing fearlessness. And we have with us today His Grace Vraj Vihari Prabhu. Hari Bol. So I was reading Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter recently, and Krishna mentions in the Gita 7th chapter that four types of people come to Him. Artho Jigyasu Artharthi Jnani Cha Bharatar Shava. So people who have something in mind to ask, people who have some fear, people who are distressed, they all come to the Lord. And those who come to temple, one of the category which also comes to temple is one who is very sincerely inquiring about the Lord. So, many of us come for various reasons here. When I came, I knew I was very attracted to prasadam. Many of you will join me in this. Some of us also come because we have a lot of distress in our life. Maybe the results have come up in the semester, you know, and we had really lost all hopes. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter that of all the categories of people who come to him, there is one category which is special. And that is that category who does not come because he is distressed or he wants something. But he is seriously inquiring about God. He wants to know answers to his questions in life. So I remember many years back, somewhere in 97 or 98, a young boy entering the temple campus with lot of questions about life and God. And then he got his answers, questions answered. And by this time you all know whom I am talking about. We have with us Vrajvi Hari Prabhu, who did not come here to take prasadam or because he was distressed, but he had a lot of questions about God, about life, and he came here and he got his answers to his questions, and eventually he surrendered his life. When Vrajvi Hari Prabhu came to temple here, he was already having a flourishing career. Prabhu had already finished his master's in international finance and he was having a gold medal from Mumbai University. He went on to do his also MBA and he was working with the Times Group. With all this flourishing career ahead, when he got the answers to his life, he decided to do welfare to the society in a unique way. He joined the Hare Krishna temple here, became a monk and started a unique career of giving time to many of the young people in today's society who need valuable wisdom. So today, after so many years of his practice in Krishna consciousness in our temple, today Vrajvi Hari Prabhu has contributed in many fields. Some of the very specific fields which he has excelled is, he is a prolific writer. He has contributed many articles in our international BTG magazine, which you have read many times. And also in our Indian magazine also. He has written for many articles in newspapers also. Apart from that, he is a lifetime counselor, lifestyle counselor for many students and many corporate people. Currently he is also heading the board of the senior members in our temple, the CSV board, which guides the entire Radha Gopinath community. So we are very happy that he has removed some of his times apart from his writings and his lectures and discourses which he continuously gives in Mumbai and also out of Bombay. So it is very happy to have him here, and today's topic is developing fearlessness, and I know it's a very relevant topic. Anything can happen in Bombay anytime. We already had experience last time in CST. So it's a relevant topic for especially city people. So let us see what Vrajvi Hari Prabhu is able to present for us in this important, urgent need of time. Let us welcome Vrajvi Hari Prabhu to our Prerana Festival by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Baldev Prabhu, for your kind words. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tiswa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate गोपेशा गोपिका कांता श्री राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमाओं विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा वी वेलकम ऑल डिवोटीज टू आवर मंथली प्रेरणा फेस्टिवल वी आर वेरी हैप्पी टू सी सो मेनी यंग बॉयज coming for our monthly festival. And since all of you are like Arjuna, because you are young and you are ready to fight the battle of life, some of you are maybe battling every semester with your KTs. Some others may have just taken up a job. Since most of you are young, I can see that life is full of opportunities waiting ahead and also full of challenges. And Krishna, while instructing Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, he begins by saying, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi. One of the divine qualities of a spiritual warrior is he is Abhayam, he is fearless. So we are going to discuss this quality which we all need to possess if we want to be successful in life, fearless. Not having too much of anxiety and stress, and not allowing that stress to debilitate our lives. So how do we make ourselves strong? That is going to be the subject of today's discussion. So this is fearlessness. Now there are some topics that we are going to discuss today in the time that we have. We are going to discuss the following topics. First we will discuss the introduction about fear. And then we'll discuss why fear exists in society and how to cope with this. Then examples of fearlessness and finally how to develop healthy fear. Our goal in life is not to be fearless. Our goal is to love Krishna. And some fear is good about certain things that we'll discuss in the end. And there are different kinds of fears in this world. You know what is tantophobia? Fear of death. Hydrophobia, water. Claustrophobia, fear of crowd. So some of you, if you are claustrophobic, you won't come for this program. Ablutophobia, this is many hostel boys have this, fear of bathing. they are afraid of taking bath. Aerophobia, height, fear of heights. Pantophobia, fear of everything. Like this, there are different fears. I hope nobody here has pilladophobia. Pilladophobia is fear of bald people. I hope you don't have that. So these are the different fears in this world. Now, in this world, one of the main characteristics is fear. There is a quote which I liked. Fear is like a dark room where negatives develop. Most of the things that we fear in life, they have no basis. And we generally worry about things that never happen. And that's why in this world, people are always in anxiety. That's why this world is also called as Kuntha. Kuntha means anxiety, fear. And our goal is to go back to Krishna's world, spiritual world, which is Vaikuntha, free from anxiety. And an interesting statistic I read, that 65% of the worries that people have and fears that they have, those things never happen in life. 65. And 12% of the fear that we have, or worry we have, it's all useless because it is about past events. And 13% fear and anxiety is caused by people whom you cannot change. And 6% of fear is caused by events which are beyond our control. So how many is left? 4. You are hearing attentively. 4% of the fear is actually at some basis. But we have no time to deal with it because we are busy with the other 96% of imaginary anxiety. And also I read about the top 3 fears of this world. You know which is the number 1 fear of this world? Flying. Second, public speaking. And third is death. So flying is the number 1 fear. And interestingly, flying is the safest mode of transportation. Statistically, flying is the safest. You may die in an accident while going to the airport, but you will, very unlikely that, you know, you'll die in an air crash. Very, very rare compared to other accidents. But still, people are most afraid of flying, and also, interestingly, the airport is called terminal. Very negative word. So flying is number 1, public speaking, death. And last week, Times of India carried a research on the number 1 fear of Mumbaiites. You'd like to know? He says number 1 fear in Mumbai is fear of losing mobile phones. And second was fear of losing a job. Like that. Anyway. So basically fear means a nice full form of fear I heard. False evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. So most of the fear that people have is has no basis. It's in the mind, imaginary. And what happens because of this is that material world is characterized by lot of anxiety and lot of worry. I have done seminars on stress management for 9th standard students. And you know, we have our farm at Wada, where we have Goshala and where we have school trips. Children come every day from different schools and we put some cow products for sale. You know, like some, we have a ganvati also, which is a cow product made from cow urine and cow dung. And this ganvati is for reducing stress. And this 6th standard, 7th standard children also buy this as the first priority. They want this. Oh, stress wala dawai do, stress wala dawai. They ask for that. So I was wondering that, you know, there's so much of stress. And not just children, even grown-up people, externally they appear very cool. But there's so much stress and worry and anxiety always, you know. Like a duck. Duck appears very cool from the outside. But below the water, on the surface, the duck is very cool. But below, it is paddling like hell, you know. Similarly, people, they appear very cool and very happy in this world. But below, beneath the surface, lot of worry, anxiety. Otherwise, how do you explain somebody so rich, the owner of Raj Travels, recently committed suicide? Now he is making travel packages so that people could travel all over the world and enjoy. But he is suffering. This is very sobering reality, actually. So unfortunate. Prayen alpa yusha sabya kalau asmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrutha. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes in this Kali Yuga, people have shorter lifespan. And manda, they are less intelligence, they are misguided. Upadrutha, they are always disturbed, always in anxiety. And most of this anxiety is caused because of lot of mental assumptions we make of people, of situations. Assume, you know, I read a nice, somebody told me a nice thing. He said, assume means when you only live a life based on assumptions and you assume, you make an ass of you and me. That is the way you break up the word, assume. So this is the problem. All this fear, anxiety is caused because of our wretched mind. The Srimad Bhagavad Gita describes that mind can be the best of friends and the worst of enemy. And even if you have everything in this world, mind will point out that one thing that you don't have and it will make your life miserable. People are always in anxiety and lamentation about having lost what they have, or they are hankering for what they don't have, and if they have everything, they are always fearful of losing it. Like this, they are always miserable. I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. I was amazed to find Anga, he is desperate to have a child, and he has a child who is very demoniac, and he is only lamenting, why I have such a bad child. And there is Chitraketu Maharaj, who didn't have a child, and he married, he had 1 crore wives. He was Karodpati. He was actually Karodpati. And he had no child, and he was also miserable. For this world has been made like that, that whoever you are, you will have something that you don't have. You know? My very dear friend, Gaurgopal Prabhu, who is my guide and well-wisher, is sitting here. He says a nice poem. I liked it very much. He told me once, as a rule, man is a fool. When it is hot, he wants it cool. When it is cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting that which is not. So this is our mind. Always dissatisfied. Always creating unnecessary fear and creating so many complications. And we perceive reality. We imagine prejudices. We fantasize revenge. And how the mind can trick you was scientifically proved by scientists when this famous movie came many years ago, Lawrence of Arabia. This movie, the whole movie was based on some action in a desert region. The whole movie was a story revolving around a desert. And when this movie was shown in Canada, the year that was released, Canada witnessed the most severe winter. It was minus 30. And during this movie, people were watching the movie, and the movie theaters recorded the highest sale of ice creams. Although it was the peak of winter, because people would watch the movie, they were in the AC room, AC hall, and the movie is talking about desert. So then they would see all that, and they would come out in the interval, they would spontaneously buy ice cream more. So the scientists proved how the mind made them feel that they are actually feeling hot or they are in a desert. They could identify with the characters in the movie. This is how the mind can make a fool of us. In fact, mind can also cause so much fear that this fear can kill. There was a man who was sitting under a tree. And a snake came and bit him. And he got hurt and he looked down. The snake was not there. He saw a rat running. So he thought, oh, rat has bit me. So he continued his work. After some days, he was sitting under the same tree. This time a rat bit him. And he looked down. He saw one snake crawling. So he thought the snake has bit him. And in some time he died. So who killed him? Fear, the mind. And there is a true story which happened in Germany. Our His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj narrates about his father's friend who was working in the railway company. His job was to store goods and vegetables in the deep freeze of the train bogey. And one day when he went to inspect the bogey as usual in the evening at around 8 o'clock in the night, he got trapped inside and somebody came from outside and locked the door. And he started knocking, but that man had already left and he was trapped inside that coach. And because he was an expert engineer and he knew all the fundas about that railways, he knew that technically and logically if somebody is trapped inside a bogie like that for 7 hours, in 7 hours he will die. Because, you know, it's very cold and it's deep freeze, vegetables are kept. So he was panicking, shouting, screaming, doing so many things, but nobody came to help him. And sure enough, 7 hours later, he died. Next day morning, when they came and opened the railway coach, they were shocked to see his body dead, all blue. And then everybody was shocked. Why? Because there was no electricity in that whole area for the last 12 hours. But still he died. So what killed him? Fear. Imagination. That, oh, I'm trapped here. What will happen? Oh, it's cold. Assumptions. Assume. Fear. So this is how. Now this is a very, I have given very graphic examples. Just to make a point. Our lives may not be like that, but our lives may be. We may get small fears. And slowly, slowly they may add and they may become huge. So therefore, this is very important to understand that this is a real problem in this world. Imagination is a real problem of this world. We are always imagining. So this is these are the five topics. First we discuss the introduction. Now we'll discuss about why does fear exist in this world? There are three reasons according to scriptures. The first one is fear exists because of bodily consciousness. Bhayam dvitiya nibe visheta syat ishadapetasya viparyayo smriti. We are constantly thinking about our bodies and things related to this body. Because of this misidentification, we are actually not the body. We are pure spirit soul. But because we are identifying with this body, we have no time to think of Krishna. Therefore, we are always fearful. Because we are living in a world which is filled with duality. Deyapatya kalatradishu atmasenyeshu asatsapi tesham pramatta nidhanam pashyanapi na pashyati. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that a person is so attached to his body and bodily related things and he thinks this is my atma sena, atma senyeshu, this will protect me, his body and things related to his body. But he doesn't realize that it is asat sapi, it is asat, it is temporary. And he becomes mad because of this misidentification. Tesham pramatta nidhanam pashyan apina pashyati. He sees everything is getting destroyed. He sees there is death everywhere. He sees there is destruction everywhere. He sees everything is temporary. Pashyan api na pashyati. Still he doesn't see. And therefore when he starts losing his own things, when his body starts dwindling, that's the time when he actually starts panicking. This has always been there. This is the characteristic of this material world. Everything will be taken away. Everything in this world, all our wealth, all the people we identify who will protect us, they are all fallible. All perishable. But still, from childhood we have been brainwashed by the media, by the society, to take care of our body and bodily relationships. Just as soon as you are born, everybody surrounds you and, you know, they start cuddling you, cute baby, and then you start thinking, I'm very important, see, everybody is surrounding me. Then you grow up thinking the whole world revolves around me, and you walk on the road also, if you see a car with a window, you immediately look and, you know, comb your hair. So that identification with the self is very deep, especially the body. And because of this, we lose focus from Krishna. And once we lose focus from Krishna, then all the things of this world hound us. There was a society nearby. Their society, they had a lift in the building. The elevator company, the society members complained that the lift is very slow. So they told them to make it fast. So the elevator company, instead of making the lift fast, they put nice big mirrors in the lift. That was cheaper. Then people complained, "Arre, lift bahut fast hai, thoda slow karo isko." Because mirror means, any time mirror is there, then a person gets a chance to look at the most beautiful person on planet. But scriptures say, what is all this? This will only cause anxiety. What is this body that we are attracted to so much? Smashana sharira mama podi arohi be bihanga patanga tai bihar kori be. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that smashane sharira mama podiya re, my body will ultimately be in smashan and all the insects, worms and ants, they will all bihar kori be, they will enjoy on my body. Kukurosh gala sab anandita hoye mahotsav kori be amar ye deha loye. Kukurosh gala sab anandita hoye, my dead body, When the kukur and shigal, when the dogs and jackals see my dead body, anandita hoy, they will be very happy. It will be Sunday feast for them. Mahotsava koribe amar, e deha loy. So this is the body. And we have been brainwashed that this body will give me pleasure. But body, the moment we enjoy anything, that enjoyment leads to double amount of suffering. That's the nature of this world. And we have capacity to actually enjoy something higher. But we are focusing on these four activities. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam samanam etat pashubir naranam. Ahara nidra bhaya and maitun. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These are the four common activities between humans and animals. And unfortunately, our whole life goes in these four activities which animals are also enjoying anyway. What is the difference between humans and animals? The difference is we are not tapping our potential. We have unlimited potential to experience happiness of a higher realm. Not like the animals whose happiness is exclusively focused on eating, sleeping, mating and defending. See, the plant's consciousness is called as avrita. It is completely covered. They cannot experience higher kind of happiness. Animals is sankuchita. It is restricted. They also have consciousness. They also have life. Plants also have life, but it is restricted. But human beings, mukulita. Mukulita means they can actually blossom. Blossom. And we can experience very high level of happiness. But what are human beings doing? Instead of tapping this highest level of happiness, which is possible in a human body, which is not possible in other animals and other species, instead of focusing and tapping that potential, we are continuing to engage in what the animals are doing. Nidraya riyate naktam vavaye nachavavaya divacharte haya rajan kutumbha bharanenava. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, what do people do in the night time? Nidraya riyate naktam vavaye nachavavaya. They either sleep or they have sex. Divacharte hayarajan kutumbha bharanenava. In the daytime they are busy working. And ultimately what are they doing? What is the goal of all these activities? Eating, sleeping, sex life and defending. And these things are freely available for the animals. And these activities cause lot of anxiety and fear. If we focus on these activities, our life will be filled with stress. You ask yourself, simple. If you focus on these four, your life will be stressful. If you focus on something higher, then you will experience higher level of happiness. Just simple example, eating. You've seen a hen eat. Always fearful, she's looking here and there. Why? Cat will come anytime. But when you eat prasad now after the program, will you be fearful? Koi aake marega mereko abhi. Nobody is going to be afraid, you know. Sleeping also, donkey is sleeping, the master will come and kick the donkey. Gade ut, you know. But when you are sleeping, nobody will come and kick you and wake you up. Unless you don't go to college at all and your parents have to do that. That's a different thing. Everything, mating, you know. 20 dogs will fight over one bitch. and then some 21st dog will come and... But human beings, it's not like that. In human beings, there is culture, there is nice, you know, institution called marriage. Then you get married to your wife, then you go have your own house and you have sex. And then 20 men don't come chasing after your wife. These things don't happen in human society. But if we focus on these four only, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then what will happen? Then we will face the same anxiety like the animals. Nowadays you see, eating, sleeping, mating, defending is very stressful. Lot of fight, misery. Srila Prabhupada, the founder of ISKCON, whose deity you are seeing behind, he writes in Ishopanishad purport that eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these things for the animals are fulfilled under nasty and unpleasant conditions. And if we focus on that, our lives also become nasty and unpleasant. That's why you see in human beings, amongst human beings today, it is, you know, people are suffering. Srila Prabhupada was once on a morning walk and he saw one fat man was jogging. And next to him was a poor man who was very thin and nothing to eat and he was shivering. Srila Prabhupada said, this man is shivering because he has nothing to eat. And this man, other man is jogging because he wants to lose weight because excess weight is caused by overeating. See, in human society you will find stinking opulence coexisting with poverty. Miserable life. So therefore, when we are focused on animalistic activities, bodily life, then we become like an animal. In fact, we become worse than an animal. We are simply well-dressed, sophisticated, polished, two-legged animals. That's why you will see animals, you know, they don't take sleeping pills. You see, humans have become more miserable because they're focusing on the body. My dear friend Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he once made a nice... I think he gave the prerana last time, very... very intelligent, and he was telling very nice in an article that how animals take sleeping pills, human beings take sleeping pills. This shows how humans are more miserable than animals. Animals don't have stress. Animals don't face scarcity of food created by a member of the own species. Animals don't face threat by a member of the same species. Human beings face a threat by the, not even the same species, sometimes same family member also. Animals don't have addictions. Animals don't have heartbreaks, you know. They don't compose ghazals saying dil toot gaya and they don't have all these problems, you know. A monkey will not sit on the branch and cry if the she monkey has left him. He will not take a rose and think, you know, she loves me not. he will just jump off to another branch and get another monkey for himself. There is no problem. But when we focus on these activities, we become like worse than animals. We become worse than animals. That's why in Chennai there is a zoo. They have kept different animals in different cages. And there is one tent outside which they have put a big notice saying, most dangerous animal. And when you enter inside, you see one big mirror. So this is human life. Focused exclusively on bodily gratification, that's why most miserable. So therefore, it is said, human life is very rare, very precious. Don't waste it in these activities. Aspire for something higher, you will experience a higher happiness, and then there will be no fear and anxiety of this material world. You will be on a higher realm. A man went to Godavari River. He knew that there are a lot of precious gems in the Godavari River. And he was taking out. But he got one stone. If it was stone, he threw it away. Then he put his hand again. He got another stone. Oh, stone. So he kept getting only stones. Finally, he got one gem also. Precious gem. But because he was so conditioned to throwing away those stones. If it was stone. And then he put away the gem. But gone. We are like that. We got dog life. What we did in the dog life? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Then we got other animal life, bird life. In all species of life, what we are doing, as we get different bodies, what we do? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And then this human life comes. And what we do? Same thing. But we are saying, hold on, wait. Don't throw this human life. This is very precious. Very rare. Please hold it. It is very sacred. So, if we focus on tapping the spiritual potential, then we will be happy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of ISKCON, would very emphatically say that human life is a precious gift of God and must be used for cultivating God consciousness. In the science of self-realization, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice example of a high court judge and a clerk. The clerk works hard the whole day, stamping papers, but he gets 1/10 of the salary of the judge who comes to the court for a few hours and he goes away. Why this discrimination? Because the judge has a higher responsibility. That's why he is paid higher. Similarly, animals have to work really hard for these things. If human beings are like a high court judge, they are meant for higher responsibility. So this is the first reason why there is anxiety and suffering in this world. And fear, what is the first reason? Bodily consciousness. The second reason is the gap between expectation and reality. We all have expectations in life, and the reality is something completely different. Have you experienced this? So you see this chart. Expectation and reality, there is a gap. And that gap is called as stress. And that stress leads to fear. Now, what is the constant factor in this amongst expectation and reality? What is the variable factor and what is the constant factor? Reality is a constant factor. In the sense, reality is not in our control. But expectation is something which is variable. You can change it. So if we want to be happy, we should learn how to adjust our expectations. Especially when circumstances change, when situations change in our lives. It's very important. And this is a classic example of this gentleman you're going to see on the screen now. Who is he? Yeah, somebody said. Who said this? Yeah, what is his name? Who is he? Rajat Gupta. He was the head of McKinsey. Millionaire, multi-millionaire. Huge mansions, everything he had in New York and many states in America. Once a year, dinner with the president of America. Finance wizard, consultant. He also was heading Procter & Gamble at one time, Goldman Sachs, American Airlines. He had such a high profile person. And the American federal court recently convicted him after a long trial of insider trading. He's been held guilty. The judges, when they were pronouncing the decision, they were crying. They couldn't believe it. They said, it's so unfortunate that somebody at this level is also a victim of greed, anxiety. What is happening is, in this world, when you don't have something, you are hankering for more and more and more. When you have, you want more. You are never happy. If you expect something, lot of expectation, and you don't get, what happens? You become frustrated. And if you get, what happens? You ask more. Dil mange more, more, more. So even if you are a millionaire, you are not satisfied. Therefore, it is said, it is very difficult to be happy with little, but with much, impossible. Our expectations keep increasing. That's why I sometimes think a beggar must be much more happier. You know, beggar on the street. When I say this in classes, that money cannot give happiness, people agree, you know, they nod their head. And those who have a lot of money, they say, yes, money can't give happiness. And those who don't have money, they also say, yes, money can't give happiness. But we would like to first have some money and then experience that money doesn't give happiness. It's a fact, everyone knows it. But still our expectations are so high that eventually we lead a very stressful and fearful life. Therefore, in the scripture there is a beautiful verse which explains this. Bhogi roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam vitte nripalad bhayam mane denya bhayam bale ripu bhayam rupe jaraya bhayam shastre vadi bhayam khale guna bhayam काये कृतांतात् भयम् सर्वं वस्तु भुवि विद्रुमा वैराग्यमेवा भयम्. How somebody who is bhogi, roga bhayam, somebody who is enjoying a lot, his fear is when he loses that enjoyment, or when the situation arises, when he cannot enjoy as much as he wants to. The owner of the Boeing 747 company, he had so much facility to enjoy, but his life became miserable because he suffered from a very terrible disease, because of which he had to live on barley water. So he wanted to enjoy, but his frustration was he couldn't. Kule chuti bayam, somebody who has a lot of money, wealth, he is wondering whether he'll have inheritance, whether he'll have a successor who will take care of his wealth. When Rockefeller, his only son, died, he became so miserable. And he lost interest in everything that he had. Vittain ripalat bayam, one who has a lot of money, his fear is losing that money, becoming a pauper. And somebody who is mane denya bhayam, somebody who is very respectable, honored, when he faces dishonor, sambhavitasya chakirtir maranadatirichyate, somebody is very honorable, when he gets dishonor, he feels like committing suicide. He can't live. I remember Ansi Cronier, when we were young, he was a famous cricket player. He had revolutionized cricket. He would get a laptop to the cricket stadium ground. And very famous cricket player. But what happened to him? He was caught in a match-fixing scandal, and then finally he became so infamous. And when he died in an air crash, there was a small report in the newspaper. Gone. And that's very painful. Kapil Dev was a very famous cricket player. He helped India win the World Cup in 1993. But in the early 1990s, another cricket player accused Kapil Dev of match-fixing and taking bribe. So Kapil Dev was so shattered. He was so devastated, it came in all the news, and you know, this was when I was in college, final year in college, 91, 92, I remember this incident. And he's denying, he's crying on the, no, I have not taken bribe, I'm honest. If this accusation is not taken away, I will take sannyas, you know, for him, as if sannyas was an escape from all accusations. Then everybody was telling him, no, don't take sannyas, you know. Finally, you know, basically what I'm saying is it's so painful for people. So they can't take infamy, dishonor. And rupe jaraya bayam, somebody is very beautiful and the center is beauty, or identification is with the beauty. Then when beauty is fading away, they can't adjust to the reality because their expectations have been placed very high. Brigitte Bardot, a French actress, she was very beautiful. One day she saw wrinkles on her face, on the mirror. She became so shocked that she is getting old and her beauty is now fading away that she didn't leave her house for the next 30 years. She couldn't reconcile to the fact that her beauty is going away. So in this world, fear is mainly caused because of having very high and unrealistic expectation, whereas reality is something completely different. And people are also afraid of death. They have an expectation that they will live forever. While discussing, they may say, Are mrityu to aana hai ek din. They may say like that, but inside they are feeling they will not die. Walt Disney, he was dying, he became so fearful. He called the scientist and said, I'll give you millions of dollars. Make something by which I can be brought back to life after I die. And the scientists wanted to make good money. They said, yes, we are making a medicine. So they got a lot of money. And after he died, they kept his body, preserved it. And they were apparently working on some medicine. Meanwhile, the inheritors of Walt Disney's fortune, they were wondering, what if the scientists bring him back to life? Then we will lose all the money. So they told the scientists, please stop your research, you know. Let us bury it. And they said, no, the research is almost complete now, you know. So then these people promised the scientist that we'll give you more money, stop the research. So then the scientist made a good money out of it. But who turned out to be a joke in this whole episode? Walt Disney. He made so many cartoon films, but he himself ended up being a cartoon. So unfortunate. So we have not been trained since childhood that death is a reality. We are generally told to cover it up. Don't talk about it. No, face it. Know what it is. And therefore, in this world, people have very unrealistic expectations. Love is what we are born with. Fear is what we learned here. By having very unrealistic, very superficial expectations. There is an anecdote saying that how when God created life on planet, is not real, but simply for explanation's sake. God first created a monkey and told the monkey that I give you 20 years of life. Monkey said, "Arre, nahi, so much I don't want. Give me half." So God said, "Theek hai, you live for 10 years. Then God made a dog and said, "Oh, my dear dog, you will have 40 years of good life." He said, "Oh, 40 years, bahut jyada ho gaya." So God said, "Theek hai, half, 20 years. Then he made donkey and said, "Donkey, you will have a good life of 60 years. He said, "Hey, 60, no, 60 is too much. Make it half." So God said, "Okay, 30 years you live." Then he made a man. And he told him, "You will have a lifespan of 20 years, blissful." And man said, "Only 20? Give me more." So God said, "Okay, I have reduced 10 from the monkey, so you take it. I have reduced 20 from the dog, that also you take. And 30 from the donkey also I have taken, so you take it up. So you live for 30 plus 20 plus 20 plus 10. 10, how much it is? 80 years. So first 20 years you live like a human being, enjoy life. Then next 30 years work hard like a donkey. And then next 20 years because you have taken it from the dog, like a dog save all your property from others. And last 10 years like a monkey keep jumping from one son's house to another son's house for shelter. This is the sad plight of human beings. So this is the second reason why there is fear in this world. So what is the first reason? Bodily consciousness. Second is gap between expectation and reality. And this is the third reason why there is fear. Power of time. Time is one of the most powerful features of this material existence which causes fear. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a class at Khar, at Mahaprabhu Prabhu's house. And he made everyone look at the clock behind and he said, "You know this clock? A young boy is looking at this clock and an old man is also looking at the same clock. And both are having different thoughts." And he said, "A young boy is looking at the clock and saying, 'Why is the clock going so slow? It should go fast. I want to become, you know, independent. I want to enjoy life.' And the old man looks at the same watch and he's thinking, 'Why is it going so fast? Go slow. Go slow.'" So time invades our lives. And if we are not prepared, as we get older, what happens, you know? As we get older, our capacity to enjoy reduces because body's capacity reduces. But because you're not trained, our desires don't go down with the passage of time. Don't be in this illusion that if I become old, my desires will go away, then I'll become Hare Krishna devotee. You know? Sab desire chala jayega buddha hone ke baad. No, desires will keep increasing the more we enjoy. But the capacity of the body will go down. And then gap, expectation and reality. So time invades our lives. Muhammad Ali, when he was a young boxer, people would sing songs as he would come to the ring to fight. And there was a famous song they would sing. You know, Muhammad Ali's fans, they would sing, "I fly like a bird, I sting like a bee, I am the greatest Muhammad Ali." And then he would come and he would knock. In 1960, he won the Rome Olympics gold medal. 1996, Atlanta Olympics, he was the final bearer of the torch of flame and he was lighting it. And his whole hand was shaking. Now, people of course appreciated when he put that torch that, you know, he had Parkinson's and he had his body can't move, but still he made it. But the organizers, you know, they simply heaved a sigh of relief because he put it, but his body was actually gone. In just 36 years, the time factor is so powerful. And he also made a public statement. He said, "I had said I am the greatest, but now I realize I am the greatest fool. That I thought that I will remain like this forever." And I don't know if you have experienced this. When we go to our villages, when we meet old people, they cry many times looking at the young generation. their grandchildren and they embrace and they love. One of the reasons they cry is because they feel affection and they also feel that next time when you come back, they may not be there to see you. I remember having a very scary experience, kind of, not scary exactly, but I remember seeing a photograph when I went home a few years ago. My uncle is a photographer and now he is no more. Whole life he clicked photographs. And there was one photograph at his house, my father and his immediate elder brother, uncle. My father was 5-year-old and his uncle was 6. And they were in, you know, cheddi and banyan under a coconut tree laughing. And I was saying, oh, this is my dad. I was looking at it. But, you know, it was 1946 or something. So many years have passed. Time has gone like this. So this is how powerful time is. We have to be prepared. And this, if you are not prepared, this causes us anxiety. There is a very famous personality in the Mahabharata. Do you know this personality? Dhritarashtra. He was so attached to his life, comfortable life, living at the house of the Pandavas. After the Mahabharata war, the Pandavas decided to take care of Dhritarashtra because he was an elderly member of the family. And Vidura came to tell Dhritarashtra that, come on, practice spiritual life. You're wasting your life. And he told him, evam griheshu saktanam pramattanam tadiyaya atyakramad avigyata kalaha parama dustara. My dear brother, please see kalaha, kal, time is a parama dustara, great force, which is entering your life avigyata. Avigyata means imperceptible. You cannot see time. How time moves, you cannot catch. Imperceptible, just like your nails, when they're growing, you can't see them growing. But you know they are growing. Hairs. You know? Avigyata. So he's saying, my dear brother, see how the imperceptible time has moved and has shaken your life. And now, fear has overcome your life. Vidurastate abhipretya dhritarashtram abhasata rajan nirgamyatam shigram pasyedam bhayam agatam. Bhaya! Just see your face in the mirror, my dear brother, you are full of fear. And that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a commentary that old age is the notice issued by time. Like, you know, the court issues a notice. And then Srila Prabhupada says, this is a summons call which you cannot refuse and avoid. And this brings fear. And this is not simply theory which was spoken to Dhritarashtra. This is the reality. Who is this personality? Margaret Thatcher. Yes. A Russian columnist called her as the Iron Lady. She was the first female Prime Minister of England. Very, very charismatic. When she would give discourses and lectures, the House of Commons would applaud and the whole world would watch with great excitement. When we were in school, you know, we grew up watching her public speaking. Public speaking, she was given as an example. Very dynamic lady. Now she's 87 and the Sun magazine carried a report, a whole story on her, how she's on the verge of madness. She's in great anxiety and fear, having lost her husband in 2003. Her life, she's constant anxiety, fear, worry. Mrs. McDougall, who was writing the whole story, she's saying, I'm feeling sorry for her. I can't believe that this is the same lady who once shook the whole world. So what Vidura spoke to Dhritarashtra is not some theory to be in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not some mythology. This is happening even today. So time is very cruel and unforgiving. So we have to be prepared. And if you're not prepared, then be ready to face anxiety and fear. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Mr. Ashutosh Mukherjee. You know who he is? Nobody knows. 100 years ago, he was some famous politician in Bengal. And there was a statue about, big statue of him. And Srila Prabhupada would say that how this statue would be there on the road and the crows would come and pass stool. The pigeons would pass stool. But once a year on his birthday, the municipality would come and they would clean up the statue. And then the political leaders would come, put garland, and then they would go away. So this is how powerful time is. One of my friends was telling me that as a young boy, you know, whenever there would be marriages in his family, his old aunt would come and poke him in the stomach, saying, "You are next. You are next. You know, next tumhara shaadi." So he got very irritated. So he wanted to stop her from doing that. So he got a nice idea. Next time somebody died in the family, he went and poked her. He said, "You are next." You know. So that's how powerful time is. So Srila Prabhupada writes that 5,000 years ago there was one Dhritarashtra, but today there is a Dhritarashtra in every house. That means we are not educating ourselves in spirituality, so we are suffering. So we have discussed how many topics? Three topics, right? Introduction. Why does fear exist? Bodily consciousness. Gap between expectation and reality and time factor. Now comes the main topic, how to cope with fear. See, I had a real experience of this. I want to share this when I was once going to Lonere with our dear Madan Gopal Prabhu. It's in the Konkan region. Our bus broke down, so we had to take an auto. You know, there is in these villages, they have a hire auto where people share the auto. So we were sitting in the auto, we had to go some distance. And there was a man with this small son, 5-year-old son, and it was the rainy season, and it was very green, nice air was also blowing. So he wanted to enjoy the breeze and the scene. So this child, he pulled up the shutters of that auto, and put it up, and tied it. The auto is going. And then he sat down to enjoy the breeze, but suddenly that again the shutter fell. So he became a little irritated, and the father helped him. So again they pulled up the shutter, put it on the top, they tied it with the thread. Meanwhile, the auto is moving. But again, the shutter came down. So they just couldn't enjoy that breeze and that scenery. Finally, they got some rope, something, and finally they tied it nicely. And just then the auto stopped. Why? They reached their destination. And then they got down, but the child was refusing to get down. He said, "Papa, no, I want to enjoy." The papa said, "But, you know, we have reached." No, he can't understand logic. He just wants, "I want to enjoy this, I want to go, but we have reached." And he was crying like anything. And then as they left, Madan Gopal Prabhu and I looked at each other and we were sharing that how our lives are like this. Whole life we are busy adjusting things. And finally when everything is done, it's time to... it's time to leave. So therefore, we should be careful and we should make ourselves strong and cope with these stress-causing factors, fear-causing factors. And in Hare Krishna movement in ISKCON, we practice two very powerful techniques or principles which I am going to share with you today, which has personally helped me. And any ISKCON devotee you know for the last 10 years, 20 years, who's very blissful, happy, sharing this knowledge with others, who's practicing himself, he's practicing these two principles. And the first principle is called hearing. Or it's also called as Shravan Yoga, hearing about the Lord. And especially hearing about Lord Krishna. Dautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Muktasarva Pariklesha Pantasva Sharanam Yatha. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that when we hear about Lord Krishna, then just like a panther, just like a traveler, after traveling long distance comes home and he feels relief from fatigue, a devotee of Krishna feels that relief and succor as soon as he hears about Lord Krishna. Why? Because all of us, we may admit or we may not admit, we all have some centers. Center means something we strongly identify with. For example, somebody may strongly identify his life with money. Money is sweeter than honey. Money is everything for him. So his whole focus is money. He may not say it, but his center is money. So what happens? Let's say the stock market crashes and he's invested a lot of money in the stock market. So what happens? His center is shaken. Because that is his life. Now when his center is shaken, he's completely bewildered because his whole existence is questioned. Because whole life he's been thinking, my life means money. So when that money is gone, then you see some people commit suicide. Why? Because they thought their life meant money. So when we have a center which is fragile, which is temporary, we will be miserable. When we talk about Lord Krishna, Krishna is an eternal principle. The holy names of Krishna are eternal. So when we chant these vibrations, we connect to something eternal. So when the whole world crumbles around us or things go topsy-turvy, a devotee is not shaken because he is strongly connected to this unshaking principle. So therefore, what we are preaching or what we are sharing with the world through our Bhagavad Gita discourses is, make God at the center of your life and hear about Him. You could be a Muslim, you could be a Christian, you could be practicing any religion. And if you want to know more about the Vedic path, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Bhagavad Gita, and you can hear. Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi dridachittamishe Dvijopasrishtha kuvakastakshakova Dashatvalam gayata Vishnu gatha. Parikshit Maharaj is about to die. He has been cursed to die in 7 days. But because his whole life he has been absorbed in hearing and serving God and God's devotees, he is fully focused and peaceful. And as he is about to die, he is telling all the sages who are assembled, Oh Ganga cha devi dridachittamisha, all of you sitting on the banks of Ganga, today I am declaring Vijopasrishta kuvakas takshakova, let that magical bird takshaka come and bite me, I am ready to die. Dashatvalam gayata Vishnu gata, you please keep singing the glories of Lord Vishnu. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also describes a very interesting personality. I think this personality, you can guess who is this. This is Yamraj. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how wherever there is a Krishna Katha going on, Yamraj comes and sits. And he is also hearing the class. Shudrayusham rina manga martyanam ritam ichchatam yopahuto bhagavan mrityu shamitra karmani. The Bhagavan of Mrityu comes wherever there is Krishna Katha going on. And he sits in the class. And Martyanam Ritamichatam. Everybody who is about to die in this world, they want to live eternally. Very interesting. There is a Christian saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So, that is the nature of this world. You know, we all think, oh, we want to go back to spiritual world, but nobody wants to die. So, when we are sitting in the Bhagavatam class, our good friend Yamaraji is here, and he is also hearing. So when eventually we die and we are taken by the agents of death to Yamraj, and Yamraj sees and he says, Are you have bought him? Are chhod do isko. I have seen him in the Bhagavatam class in temple. Isko chhod do. You are basically, you are networking right now. You are networking. Yamraj is seeing all of us. So Yamraj sees, oh, this person is sleeping in the class. He will say, Sora tha class mein, chalega. At least he was not sleeping at home, he was sleeping in the class. No problem. He is sincere. Basically, hearing about Krishna, this is just in a lighter way, and I said, but essentially what it does is, what practical benefit, I'll tell you a practical benefit of hearing about Krishna. Asyam vaishuya manayam krishne parama purushe bhaktir utpadate pumsa shoka moha bhayapaha. Shoka, moha and bhaya will go away. Shoka means lamentation about past. Moha means illusion about present. Shoka, moha, bhaya and fear about future. Asyam vai shruya manayam. If we hear consistently and regularly about the Lord, this fear will go away. You will become very strong. See, don't think this is some mythological old people doing, you know, in the traditional homes, you will see they read scriptures. I used to think like that. But in my study of different management books, I write articles for leadershipandspirituality.com. And when my study, I was amazed to find the greatest management authors, Stephen Covey and Rebecca Merrill. Both of them, they've written this book on time management. And amazing analysis they have made about the different endowments human beings have. And one of the power that we have is our power of conscience. The moral internal compass which can tell us what is right and what is wrong. So both the authors argue very powerfully that how this compass of conscience can be very active and very strong and very powerful if we hear scriptures submissively. This is their statement. They are not Hare Krishna devotees. Huh? They also know this. But I was suspicious. I thought, why are they saying scriptures, hearing scriptures submissively? Maybe their definition of scriptures is something different. So I went to the appendix to see what they mean by scriptures. They had some 10-15 books, out of which there was Mahabharata, Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita also. So even these people realize that when we hear essentially about the Lord, our hearts get connected to an eternal center, an unshakable center, not a temporary shaky center of this world. That's why it's very important that we hear. A culture of hearing helps. I'll tell you a real story about one of our devotees who actually experienced this, you know. He was going through a lot of financial problems and a lot of issues are going on. Some people he was trying to explain to them, he couldn't explain to them, and family disputes are going on. He was in great stress. So he came for the Bhagavatam class as usual and he was sitting. And the speaker was speaking as usual and he spoke one verse from the Bhagavatam which says how, you know, time is controlling everyone. We cannot control anyone. We are all sarpa grasto yata para. He quoted this verse which says how we are all going inside the serpent of time. Katam anyams tu gopayet. How much can you control anyone? It was a simple normal class, but because he was hearing attentively, suddenly it was like an eureka, you know. It was like, wow, I got the answer to my problem. I cannot control people. I have to try my best. I have to be detached. His heart was filled with such positive determination and detachment that his life changed from that point on. I know this devotee personally. And his conviction in the process of hearing has increased tremendously. Because what happens, you know, the Lord sees this person is hearing. Because hearing is not easy. I'll tell you from my own experience. You know, when we keep giving lectures all the time, it's very difficult to sit and hear. Because speaking means I'm in control, you know, I'm the boss. But hearing means I'm actually taking a humble position of, basically we are telling the Lord that I don't know, I want to know. Hearing means I want to know. That attitude pleases the Lord, and because he's there in the heart as Paramatma, he changes our heart, he fills our heart with softness, he fills our heart with positive emotions. And so hearing helps. It's a sign of humility. So this process of hearing is very powerful, and I request all of you to try this. We have unlimited lectures in our ISKCON Desiratory. You can download them. Every day you can hear many lectures. And we also have the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Chanting will immediately take you on a higher level. You will feel not only relief, you will feel positive nourishment. Pravishta karana randrena svanam bhava saroruham dunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yatashara. Just like a rain in the autumn season comes and cleans away all the dirt. When we chant the holy name comes in and cleans our heart completely. And for devotees, holy name is the eternal principle. Holy name will remain always. Just like a drunkard, you know. I'm very sorry for this gross example, but there's a point I'm trying to make. People work outside, they get a raise in the salary, they get some promotion. How they celebrate? They have a party. And what do they do in that party? They drink. And then tomorrow this fellow's girlfriend runs away, he's miserable, what he will do? Again he'll go to the bar and drink. Kushi mein, gum mein, only one friend he has. How devotees celebrate? If there is marriage function in the temple sometimes, devotees come together and chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And if there is a tragedy, recently some of our devotees died in an air crash. It was a massive tragedy. And what did the devotees do? They came together and they chanted. So not only not only they chanted for themselves, they also chanted for the others. So chanting is a very powerful experience that fills our heart with so much confidence, so much fearlessness. This is one of the most practical yogas that we can perform. And we have recently released a CD. We had a 16-hour non-stop marathon kirtan. You know that CD we did? It was an amazing non-stop kirtan we had organized by Hiten Prabhu for 16 hours. And that was the day when we were all fasting. Devotees were Nirjal Ekadashi. They were fasting without water. And 16 hours they were chanting and dancing non-stop. So they released this CD which is available down. And they're also giving one bonus CD with this. So two CDs of ecstatic kirtans. You can hear them and make your life rich. And the scriptures explain how what happens when we chant regularly, we experience just like a child, you know. What you see here is a child comfortable. If you see, the child is always fearless. In the train, I've seen sometimes the mothers with the baby. Mother is struggling. The child is blissful. You see? Parents are in anxiety about the child. But child, crowded local train, wherever he is, he'll be blissfully sleeping. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we come under the comfortable shelter and embrace of the Lord who has descended mercifully in the form of His holy names. And this is what the scriptures describe. You can chant this verse with me. No, after me. You can repeat after me. Apannasam smritim ghoram yannama vivasho grinan tata sadyo vimucheta yad bibeti swayam bhayam. If we chant the holy names even once with great feeling and intensity, tata sadyo vimuchita, immediately yad bibeti swayam bhayam, all fear will vanish. Eta nirvidya mananam ichchatamakuto bhayam yoginam rupanirnitam Harer Nama Anukirtanam. Some people may say, I have no worries in life. No problem. Even if you have no worries, if you have worries, whatever situation you are in, always chant Hare Krishna. You may say, I am happy in life. Chant Hare Krishna, you will experience more happiness. And then you will realize, what happiness I was experiencing till now was chiller happiness. You know, it is like when we were small children, we used to play with this cigarette pack. You know, we used to collect the cigarette packet covers. Those packet, you know, Wills would fetch you 2 points and Charms would fetch you, you know, no point, and Gold Flake would fetch you 5 points, like that. And these boys would collect all this and they would have games and all that. Now when you grow up, would you play that game? And the shopkeeper would throw, you know, and you would, and we would, the boys would be waiting outside the shop, that Pan Bidi shop. And the shopkeeper would take the cigarettes and he would give it to the person, and then the cover, he would throw it away outside. And the boys would go and run and grab, and some, and we used to think, kya foolish shopkeeper, is throwing away 10 points. Packet fake rare. But now when we look back, we feel, what a game that was, you know. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna, we get connected to Krishna, we start thinking, oh, what kind of pleasures I was pursuing. How unfortunate. But now I'm happy. So this is very, very important, chanting. Now comes a very important point. This world is bizarre, world is crazy. Even nice devotees, they go through a lot of stress. The 26/11 tragedy happened just outside this temple, not even 100 meters from here. The terrorists were caught. So much fear and uncertainty was looming large on the faces of even devotees. That was a period, 2 days I was watching how it was intense phase. Now, these kind of situations can happen any time in this material world. I remember when the Swaminarayan temple was attacked some years ago by the terrorists. Next day morning, one congregation devotee came to the temple as usual. He's a nice devotee, you know. It's not that he's somebody who wants attention. A new person, not an old devotee, a new person was coming to the temple, and sober person. But that stress was so much for him, and that pain and that anguish, that he broke down in the temple. You know, he started wailing and crying. Then I realized how this world is so nasty. It doesn't spare anyone. But if you are sheltered strongly on the holy names of Krishna, we will be powerful warriors like Arjuna. Nothing can shake devotees. They will be confident. They will be brave during calamities. And then even if death stares in the face of a devotee, devotee is ready because he's already established a relationship with Krishna. He's ready to face death. Just like a girl when she's getting married in the Hindu tradition, when the girl gets married, on the day of the marriage, she cries a lot on the day of marriage. Because of two reasons. One is, you know, she's going to miss her parents and she's going to go to a new house. And the second reason why she cries is because of uncertainty. She doesn't know which home she's going and what will happen. But if the girl has had a love marriage, she's already had a courtship. On the day of the wedding, she may be crying, but she's also excited. She knows where she's going. So people in this world, at the time of death, it's like the time of that wedding. They are crying, they're in anxiety because they don't know where they are going. And they're also attached to so many things of this world, so they're miserable. But a devotee, because he's already had a relationship, a loving relationship with Krishna, established through the chanting of holy names of Krishna. So when he's dying, he's excited to go back to his beloved Lord. So he's not afraid of this world. He's fearless. Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, one of the topmost leaders of ISKCON, when he was living this world, cancer, last days, you'd get up in the morning every day and you'd look at the sunrise and you'd say, oh, one more day in this world. When will I go back to Krishna? No? He was excited. He was cheerful. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is a very practical reality, founded very strongly on this, on the basis of hearing and chanting. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Hariri Ishvara Shrotavya Kirtitavya Chham Smartavya Shechata Bhim Etadatura Chittanam Matra Sparsha Chayamuhu Bhava Sindhu Plavo Drishto Hari Charyanu Varnanam. So again the scriptures say, just chant and in all situations you will cross over this ocean of material existence and develop complete fearlessness. And there are some powerful examples, because you may say, okay, sab theory ho gaya, practical kuch hai? Are there examples? Yes, now we are going to discuss some very powerful example of fearlessness. This is Srila Prabhupada. And in 1973, he was in Calcutta giving a Pandal program, Naxalite terrorists attacked. And they were giving flyers every day, you know, run away from here, we'll kill you. And this Pandal program they wanted to stop. But Srila Prabhupada was so focused, and on the last day, these Naxalites got up and they started throwing chairs. And Srila Prabhupada sat firmly and he intensely started chanting loudly on the microphone, Govinda Madhi Purusham prayers. And with such intensity he chanted that these people stopped the writing and they came to the Pandal. And then they had a discussion with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada handled that whole volatile, potentially volatile situation because he was completely fearless. Because he was already knowing anything can happen at any time. So when you know what's going to happen and you're prepared, that's why you'll see in Mumbai, we are very, very fortunate that we have so many spiritual organizations which are encouraging people to practice, especially the youth to practice spirituality. And especially ISKCON, we are presenting the holy names of Krishna. And also today we are very happy, we have Niruta here. Thank you for coming. She's a very special person. She's a very senior member of the Art of Living Foundation. And she has been very encouraging and encouraging all of us at Borivali to do programs. We are sharing our space with her. Actually, she's sharing her space with us. She's allowing us to do the program. So we are very grateful to you. Thank you for coming all the way from Daisar. Thank you. Well, let us welcome Niruta to our program. In a traditional, we have a traditional style of welcoming. So let us welcome her in a traditional style by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! And she was telling us that we are very, very happy that you are teaching from the Bhagavad Gita, you know, practical things by which people can become strong in their spiritual lives. So this is needed, study of Bhagavad Gita and establishing ourselves based on strong centers and strong principles, it makes us fearless. Srila Prabhupada was once flying from Dallas to New Orleans in 1975, and as the flight was, you know, midway in the air, suddenly the flight lost control. There was turbulent weather, and the flight started, you know, swinging up and down in the air, and the overhead bins opened, things started falling. And Upendra Prabhu, Prabhupada's servant, was next to him. He just got panicky. He said, "Oh, it's going to be death now. What will happen? People are screaming in the flight." And all the time, Srila Prabhupada's hand was in the bead bag. He was just chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." Completely equipoised. And he just expressed once, "You know, what's happening?" You know, as if, "Kya ho gaya? Kya chal raha hai?" So, Prabhupada, flight, in any time there could be in a crash and things, Prabhupada, "Hare Krishna." He just completely equipoised. And Upendra Prabhu was thinking, "Oh, Prabhupada is so cool, unaffected." Because actually there is nothing you can do in the flight. Even you may shout, you may scream. It's not that the flight is going to become normal. And Prabhupada knew it. Why waste time shouting and screaming? Remember Krishna, chanting. So then, finally, the plane landed safely. And as soon as the plane landed safely, and everybody started shouting, cheers. And again Prabhupada was quiet. So Upendra Prabhu was thinking, Prabhupada should say something at least. Itna bada incident ho gaya, itna bada hadsa ho gaya. We just escaped death. So finally he thought Prabhupada will say something, and Prabhupada looked at him. And now he thought Prabhupada will say something. And Srila Prabhupada said, "So, how far is the temple from the airport?" He was completely unaffected. When Srila Prabhupada was leaving this world, November 14, 1977, around 7:14, 7:15 he left this world. Around 3 o'clock, last words he spoke, people were around him and asking him, "Do you have any desires, last desires?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Kuch ichha nahi, I am completely satisfied." But if you are not focused on the eternal principle, then we will have unfulfilled desires till the last moment and we will suffer. Recently, one of our devotees, his great-grandfather was dying at the age of 90. And all his family members are surrounding him and telling him, "Papa, Dada, please chant the names of God, you know, remember God." And he was refusing. He was just doing like this. And they were saying him, "Are, ab, Bhagwan ka naam lo." He just kept doing like this. And eventually he died. And then one of our devotees asked him after some time, "Why was your great-grandfather doing like this? He said, "Because whole life he worked in a cloth shop and he was measuring cloth whole life. So when he was dying, he was, you know, that's what was coming. Spontaneously, naturally." So if we are constantly chanting Hare Krishna, at the time of death what will happen? We'll chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. One of our devotees, ISKCON devotees, Ananda Pragyat Prabhu from Seimei Four Pillars Temple in Russia, he got cancer. He was a young brahmachari. He was 30, 35 and he was about to die. He was on the bed, excruciating pain for weeks together. And finally, when he was about to leave his body, just a few seconds before that, you know, pain was intense. And just before leaving the body, he had a big smile on his face. And he looked at all the devotees and he gave a thumbs up sign. And he said, "Prabhupada is not cheating you. This is the best process. Have faith." And that, those are the last words he spoke. And he left his body. We don't know what he saw. We don't know what experience he had. But he had that faith. And in that condition, he could remember the Lord. And he could be blissful. There is another Italian devotee. He also left his body in Vrindavan. He had some very deadly disease. And as he was dying, this happened recently, suddenly his hands leapt up in the air and in Italian language, you know, he declared loudly, "You know, it's a miracle, I'm seeing a miracle. Miracolo, miracolo," he shouted in Italian language. "Miracolo, miracolo," and he died. He left his body. So our devotee said, he was telling Krishna, "Merko lelo, merko lelo." So, chanting works. Krishna consciousness works. And Srila Prabhupada went to America. He was a 70-year-old man with 40 rupees in his pocket. Hardly any money, suffering 3 heart attacks on the cargo ship. He goes to America, one devotee was saying, just like all the children, coward boys in Vrindavan entered the Agasura demon. Agasura was a huge python and you know they just entered happily because Krishna is there, Krishna is there. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada is entering New York which is like a Agasura demon. And he entered and he fearlessly went in. In fact, 1977, May, doctors declared, looking at Srila Prabhupada's frail body, 3 more weeks, he is going to die in 3 weeks. So devotees came and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, doctors are saying, you know, your condition is very bad. They couldn't say that only 3 weeks you have. Prabhupada said, okay, let us go to London for Rath Yatra. And then Srila Prabhupada and his team of devotees went to London for Rath Yatra. They celebrated Janmashtami in London and then they came back. As devotees get older, their services increase. Generally in material world, 58 they take retirement. Maximum 60. Maximum 65. And after 65, they'll kick you out of the company if you still, you know, hang around there. Because old age, you know, your mind, intelligence doesn't work. You become disoriented, confused. But Srila Prabhupada, as he was getting older, 80, he was traveling all over the world. His services were increasing because he was connected to Krishna very deeply. So Srila Prabhupada is a classic example of fearlessness. And this was the place where he was in, 8 Ashbury District, San Francisco. This is the hippie culture, crazy people. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York, there was a sniper with a gun who would shoot people at random any time of the day. Crazy people. He would be in a building. And Prabhupada would walk there, purchase vegetables. He was cool. So devotees told him, Srila Prabhupada, that those days you were alone there. Were you not afraid? Prabhupada didn't say out of humility. He didn't say that I was, you know, remembering Krishna. He said, oh, I'm not afraid because I'm Calcutta man. I'm from Calcutta. But Srila Prabhupada was fearless. Once in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada was translating his Bhagavatam purports. This is an incident which is amazing. I don't know if any one of us is in this situation, what we would do. He would translate in the night from 12:30 to 5 o'clock in the morning. So at 2 o'clock early morning when the whole world is sleeping, there is a knock on the door, Prabhupada's door. Srila Prabhupada opens the door. And what does he see? A young girl, scantily dressed, she's standing outside the door and staring at Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada says, what do you want? And she just doesn't say anything. She keeps staring. He says, come on, what do you want? Say something. Why have you come and disturbed me at this time of the night? Just staring. And Srila Prabhupada, he was about to close the door and suddenly she started shouting, ah, hello, ha, ho, 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 like that. Srila Prabhupada, what happened to her? So, Srila Prabhupada was about to close the door, she came inside. So when she came inside, Srila Prabhupada and this girl are alone in the room now. So Srila Prabhupada instinctively came out of the house. When he came out, she came out and she closed the door behind her and this was a self-locking door. And Srila Prabhupada didn't have a key. Now both this girl and Srila Prabhupada are on the streets of San Francisco, in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada said, no, what have you done? You stupid woman. He chastised her. She is just again staring. Mad girl, you know. And then Srila Prabhupada then finally remembered Mukunda stays somewhere. Then he went to Mukunda's house. He woke him up. And he was shocked. And this girl is following Srila Prabhupada. And he chastised that girl. You stupid girl. Don't you realize this old, you know, sannyasi is writing so much. Why are you disturbing him? He scolded her. But she looked at him and smiled. And she said, you will not understand. You are a young boy. So crazy girl. She was speaking all gibberish. Then he had a spare key. He opened the door. And again this girl was trying to enter and she was shouting in the middle of the street. Intense experience. Intense. This went on for 1 hour, the whole drama. And after that 1 hour, what did Srila Prabhupada do? He closed the door, went back to his translation table and continued translating as if nothing had happened. If we are studying and something like this happens. And then best part of the story is, after this translation work is over, 6 o'clock Prabhupada would come outside to give class. And as he sat for the class, he saw the girl is sitting in the class. She had come for the classes. Such kind of crazy people would come and sometimes people would, you know, look at Srila Prabhupada very staringly, angrily, in the middle of the class. Suddenly somebody would get up and shout. All crazy people would come for his classes. And during those days, Prasadam was, one man got up in the middle of the class and started shouting. What do you think of yours? Srila Prabhupada just smiled at him. He was very angry, menacing look, and he sat. And Srila Prabhupada did kirtan. And after kirtan, prasadam. That time prasadam was different, not like now. Now we are going to have a feast. But that time Prabhupada would take an apple, cut it into few slices and give it. So this man is looking angrily, and Srila Prabhupada is smiling, chanting Hare Krishna. Old man, he has no contacts in New York, alone, gone from Calcutta. And all crazy hippies are here. Srila Prabhupada takes apple prasad, breaks it into few slices, and keeps the knife on one hand, and apple on the other, and offers it to this man. And this man, now everybody is watching. This man is angry, what will he do? Fortunately, he picks up the apple pieces, you know. Srila Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna. So that confidence, that regal personality Srila Prabhupada was, he was completely fearless, because he was focused on Krishna. When Calcutta Second World War, bombs were falling, Srila Prabhupada was making kachoris for Krishna. He was saying, bombs are falling, I can't do anything about it, you know. Rake Krishna mare Krishna rake ke. So like this, there are many examples. In ISKCON, there was one Mataji Kunti Devi, Mataji, she was in Utah, America. She suffered cancer, terrible disease, but she was so lively. She was speaking about Gita and Bhagavatam to everyone. The Utah TV channel came and they interviewed her. So we have many examples. Bajaure mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. If we remember the lotus feet of Krishna, we become fearless. That's why Srila Prabhupada's first name is Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Abhaya Charanaravinda. One who is fearless because he has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And this is also a real example. You know what is this? This is tsunami, 2005. ISKCON's leader Indradumna Swami Maharaj went there, Sri Lanka. And the army general, when he saw Indradumna Swami Maharaj, the first thing he told him, see, we have no shortage of relief and supplies. We are getting unlimited food, clothes, everything. But can you do something about the emotional wreckage? They are devastated. Can you make them happy? So Indradumna Swami Maharaj said, I will try. And they made Khichdi Prasad and they started Kirtan. And these villagers, they went mad. So happy, chanting, dancing. They didn't allow this team to leave the villages. And when they would go to the next village, the whole village would accompany them to the next village. And he was doing Ram Kirtan there, you know, Sita Ram, all that, and they were, so Kirtan made them so happy and joyful in that calamitous situation, devastating situation. And we had a live experience of this. We were coming in train from Udupi with Govind Prabhu, and in front of us was a husband-wife, a couple. They had some fight. It was obvious. They were not talking to each other. They were angrily looking at each other. And you know, there was lunchtime, this lady, she had some tepla, something, some chapati. She literally threw it at him, you know, like that. And he also didn't. So we knew that they are having some issues. And we were talking. And finally, Govind Prabhu said, let us do some kirtan. So around evening, we started kirtan. And kirtan is so sweet, you know, enchanting. So the kirtan went on so nice. And finally, we could see as the kirtan was going on, the lady started smiling, looking at us. Because she was feeling that sweetness of the kirtan, that man also started smiling. So they were looking at us and smiling. And then eventually they started looking at each other and smiling. And then finally in the dinner time she gave chapatis to her, something she gave, very lovingly she gave, you know. And he also took very happily. So holy names of Krishna can actually bring us together. So these are the four topics we have discussed so far. Why does fear exist? Bodily consciousness, expectation versus reality gap, and time factor. How to cope with fear? Hearing and chanting, and examples of fearlessness. Srila Prabhupada, Indradumna Swami Maharaj, and many ISKCON leaders like Kunti Mataji, many, many examples are there. And last, developing a healthy fear. Now, fear is not bad if you are fearful of hurting others, or fearful of the illusory energy, healthy fear of Maya. The illusion takes us away from the Lord, and if we pray to the Lord that, my dear Lord, I don't want to be an illusion, I want to serve. If you are in this consciousness, this is a healthy fear. Not in a neurotic, obsessive sense. You know, not that you are always afraid, not like that. But in a positive sense. Srila Prabhupada, once he told his disciples that, what is the difference between you and me? And they didn't answer. Srila Prabhupada said, the difference is I can never fall into Maya. You can fall down any time. And one day Srila Prabhupada was praying in front of the deities, and Kirtananda Swami asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what are you praying? Srila Prabhupada said, I am praying that I may never fall down. He said, Prabhupada, but you told a few days back that the difference between you and us is that you can never fall down. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because I am praying like this, I will not fall down. You know, that is the whole idea. The idea is we take shelter of Krishna, we pray to be, we are fearful of the distractions and temptations on the path of devotional service. And we are fearful of criticism. Criticism is deadly like poison. If a snake bites you, you can be relieved. But the poison of criticism and envy, if you are stung by that, especially internet has so many advantages, but internet is also the forum for the most irresponsible behavior. Most irresponsible people are on the internet and they are just writing blasphemy. They have nothing else to do. They're only criticizing devotees. So this is very, very deadly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared this to a mad elephant offense. If you are planting a nice garden and nice seeds and a mad elephant comes and destroys everything. Similarly, offenses to Vaishnavas, criticism is very dangerous. We should always be careful of these things. So therefore, these are the five topics we discussed. And in conclusion, I would like to request all of you that please practice Krishna consciousness as an emergency, especially the process of hearing and chanting. Then Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, you will be blissful, you will be happy, and you will be like Arjuna. You will be able to do your duties without stress, without worries, and you will be completely happy. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So let us thank His Grace Raj Vihari Prabhu for His wonderful presentation by loudly chanting three times. So before we will have question answers, few announcements here. We have two wonderful guests who are here for our Prerna Festival. Mr. Dattatre Khode works for SBI in Agriculture Department. And then we have Ms. Niruta who conducts Art of Living courses in Borivali, and she also helps Vraj Viharipu and his team in conducting many programs in Borivali. So let us welcome these two guests by loudly chanting Hari Bol.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
We also want to welcome all those wonderful young students and boys who have come here for the first time. We wish to see you all. So those who have come for the first time today for this program, we request you to kindly rise so that we can properly welcome you. Anyone here for the first time? Please stand up so we can see you fully. Very good. So we are very happy that you have come here and you spend your time. It's a very, this whole weekend is a big holiday. You had choices to go so many places. You opted to come to Radha Gopinath temple and attend the Prerna Festival. So we thank you all. Let us welcome these wonderful devotees by loudly chanting Hari Bol.
Hari
Hare Krishna. Please take your seats. So when you go down, we have arranged some gifts for those who come for the first time. So downstairs is a gift counter. So please collect your gifts from there. Also, among those who have come for the first time, anyone who has got this kind of coupon should go to the base classroom number 7 and meet Vrajaras Prabhu for something special. I do not know what it is special.